Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's praise God. Give the Lord praise. And oh, my. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Join me tonight in welcoming the God Channel, please. Praise God. All of the God Channel audience all over the world, praise God. I'll tell you, Rory and Wendy Alec, when they came to Gloria and me years ago now and told us what God had dropped in their hearts and assigned them to do, to take the Word of the living God and the Word of faith in God to all of Europe. And I'll tell you, people everywhere were telling them how much they could not do that. And I'll tell you what, the more they told them they couldn't do it, the stronger they got, and the louder they laughed, and the more they shouted, amen. And I'm telling you tonight, if those two kids hadn't believed God and stood on the Word of God, most of Eastern Europe would be still in the dark where the Word of God is concerned. And so not only do I want to thank God, I want to tell the two of you how much we appreciate you and thank you for blessing all of us all over the world with the Word of God. How good it is when people obey God. Before you're seated tonight, I want you to turn and shake. Now, wait a minute. I want you to shake hands, but look right in the eye of three different people and say, "You are blessed." Then you can be seated. You are blessed. 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 Do you hear me? Hallelujah. Did you hear me, boy? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Keith Moore, thank you for honoring us with this wonderful facility to have this great meeting in. Praise God. My, it's an exciting place. Father, we thank you tonight. We open. Say it along with me. I open my heart. And I open my ears. I open my eyes. To receive, to hear, and to see whatever my Father is saying, and whatever my Father is doing, to receive revelation from heaven. Thank you. I receive it. And by faith in God, I have it. Amen. Well, don't let go of it. Praise God. Oh, yes, amen, amen, amen. Praise God. My, we've already had a good time all day today. And it isn't over yet. Amen. Tonight, we'll receive our evening offering, but this is not a separate part of the service. All of these things flow together. Now, when we began the Believer's Voice of Victory radio broadcast and then later the television broadcast, and I was inquiring of the Lord about how I was supposed to do these things. And he talked to me about the teaching anointing And he said, unless I tell you different, teach, don't preach. Now, somebody said, what's the difference between teaching and preaching? And somebody else said, about an hour and a half. Well, no. In some cases, that's true. Because I'll tell you, there have been times that you get under that preaching anointing, you can say more than 20 minutes and you can teach all night long. I mean, because it is such a glorious anointing. And I have experienced it, but I've experienced that anointing more often in other countries, other nations. And part of that is because that there are times when God sends you to another country, to another place, particularly when it's a barren place where there hasn't been maybe no preaching of God's word at all there, or maybe just a little bit. Then you operate, in my case, temporarily under an apostolic anointing. Now, I haven't been separated to the office of the apostle, but when a condition like that exists, if God sends you into a certain place, that's what the word apostle means. And we're going to see more about that tonight. I'm believing we'll get to that point tonight, but if we don't, we most likely will tomorrow. About God, the anointing that comes when God sends you someplace. I don't care if it's just next door. Though, and there's a lot of you that have been around me long enough to know how I absolutely, totally despise working in the yard. It's going to all burn up in a few days. I mean, why don't we just paint it? I don't like it. Well, I'd come home off the road and we'd been gone for some weeks, and it came time I finally had to just, you know, I just had to give in. I wasn't willing, but I did it. So I didn't get any credit for it at all because I wasn't willing. But I was out there shoving that lawnmower around in that little front yard we had. And the word of the Lord came to me and he said, I want you to mow the yard next door. I said, no. They know you're trying to con God. He knows what's on the inside of you anyway. I said, no, I don't want to do that. And he said, I want you to mow that yard next door. I said, oh, all right. Yes, sir, I'll do that. And of course, the thought crossed my mind, if people are going to look out the window and see me out there mowing their yard. And I didn't know these next door neighbors yet. And we hadn't lived there all that long. And they hadn't either. It was a new housing development. And of course, our kids knew one another real well, but the parents didn't. We were gone all the time. So, I said, I don't care. I'll just tell them you told me to do it. And so there was the driveway was between the two yards. And over here, I ain't liking this a bit. But I got finished with it, and I didn't even turn the engine off. I just kept her running, mowed right across the driveway. And, of course, I stepped up pretty good because I want to get out of this guy's yard just fast as I can. And when I got over there on his side, something happened to me. That's the only yard I ever remember enjoying mowing. I'm 75 years old and I have enjoyed one yard mowing. I think it's because of my injured youth. That was punishment at our house. And I'll tell you, my mother would get so mad at me, and if I had just mowed the yard, she'd send me out there to dig it up. My dad came home one time and he said, what happened to the front yard? And when mother got over her mad, she was embarrassed to tell my daddy she made me dig it up. Anyway. Man, I enjoyed this over here. I'm just mowing and praying in the spirit. I don't know why I'm over there. But the scripture came up on the inside of me and I said, I lay claim to this. And I knew I wasn't claiming the man's property. That wasn't it at all. But I'm just claiming this place for the Lord. I claim this for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, nobody came out. I finished it and went on. We left town then and were gone for several days. came back off of the road again, and I hadn't been home. Well, we'd probably been home maybe 2 days, and got a knock on the front door. I answered the front door, and it was the lady from next door. And she's about the same height of Glory. She's about 5'2", 5'3". And man alive, I opened that door, and she just exploded. She went to preaching to me. I tell you, Jesus is Lord. I said, yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Yes. Amen. I mean, she's talking just 90 to nothing, just as fast as she could go. She's just preaching. Sound like she preached about half the New Testament, man, in about 15 minutes. You never saw anybody so excited about Jesus in your life. And I finally said, would you hold it a second? She said, yeah, what? I said, this whole family is born again, Holy Ghost baptized preaching family. Oh, she said, wonderful, and just cranked up again. That's the last word I got in edgewise, man, for about another 30 minutes. She kind of slowed down a little bit. She said, oh, Brother Copeland, she said, I'm so excited. She said, I'm going to tell this whole neighborhood about Jesus. I've made up my mind. They're all going to know him before I get done. I said, what happened to you? She said, you know that little Presbyterian church down here right around the corner? I said, yeah. She said, well, that's where we go to church. And she said, the only reason we went to church down there is because it's close to the house. But she said, just a few days ago, and I'm wanting to smile, you know, and tell her I mowed your yard a few days ago. The Lord wasn't going to let me tell her that. And she said, there was a witnessing team came into our church. And she said, Brother Copeland, they set that church on fire. She said, my whole family's gotten saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. She said, wow. And here she went again, man, just took off of preaching. Well, after I finally got back in the house, the Lord said, now aren't you glad you mowed that yard? I said, yes, sir. Well, now, I was a lawn mowing apostle for about an hour. That's really true. That was a God-sent one anointing. He sent me over there to do something he needed, and he put the anointing on me to do it. The lawnmower didn't have anything to do with it, other than the fact he just sent, that was what got me over there. Can you see that? Don't forget that. God sends you somewhere, he will anoint you to do and to take care of whatever he needs done there. Don't ever go anywhere empty-handed. You get that Bible somewhere on you someplace. You mean, I had one woman say, Brother Copeland, you mean I need to take my Bible to the beauty shop? I said, well, carry it in a paper sack or something, woman, if you don't want nobody to see it. But don't ever get caught out without it. You may get called on a mission. You ought to be on a mission every day of your life. Now, let's open our Bible to our text that we began last night. Two places of Scripture. One is in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verse 19 and 20. Say amen when you get there. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is being quoted here through Moses. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. In other words, you have no excuse. I have. He didn't say I'm going to. He said I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, you choose life that both you and your seed may live. that you may love the Lord your God, and that you may obey his voice, and that you may cleave unto him, for he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Now, just back down to the 15th verse. See, I have set before you this day life and good, death and evil, that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgment. Why, Lord? Just because you want to be mean to us? You don't want us to have any fun? No, no. No, no. That you may live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless you in the land wherever you go and possess it. You're supposed to be blessed everywhere you go. And God said, I have set before you blessing, now you choose it. Now then, let's go to the book of Proverbs. The 18th chapter and the 20th verse. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Now, God said, I've set before you life and death. Blessing, you notice blessing comes under life. Cursing comes unto death. Those two don't ever get mixed up. It's not the devil blessing anybody. He's a killer. Amen. And it's not God making you sick and killing you. Now, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power, in the authority. The Hebrew word is actually hand. Death and life are in thy hand, or have been turned over to words. You're either going to choose life, words, or death, words. And choosing the words, choose the direction of your life. Now, we've been learning that. Now, choose life, choose words. Choose God. Choose his words. He is our life. He is the length of our days. You don't need to be planning to die at 70, 75 years old. I'm 75. I ain't no way I'm going to die anytime soon. I ain't got time to die. I'm busy. Gloria and I, neither one are on any kind of medication, any kind of prescription. Never have been. If we, for some reason, I had to take the ministry did an insurance thing, ministry-wide insurance thing, and I had to take physical for that. And they, when they asked me what medications I was on, they didn't ask me if I were on any. They wanted to know what I was on. I said, I'm not on any. You're not on any? I said, no. They always want to say, boy, you sure are lucky. I don't like that. Lou, hey, spell luck. L-U-C-I, Lucifer. That's where the word luck came from. There isn't any such thing.
No. It all goes back to words.
Well, Brother Gunn, don't start arguing me this early in the service. Do your own research. Find out about it yourself.
Now, death and life are in the power, in the hand of the tongue. Or in other words, and I've said this before, and this is, and it's used this way. For instance, and it says this in the book of Job, he is in your power. Same word, hand. I'm turning this over to you. I'm giving you the authority for this project. We're calling you on this mission. Do you accept it? Yes, I do. All right, I'm putting this project in your hands. Can you see that? That's delegated the authority. God has put authority of life. He has put life and death in the hand of the spoken word. Amen. Now, we're receiving the offering. Now, let's go over to the book of Galatians. And you'll see the correlation now that we've been talking about it. You're going to see something about it from the book of Galatians. Look in this fifth chapter. And look in verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust or the pressures put on you by the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. The flesh puts pressure on the Spirit. That S there should not have been capitalized. He's talking about your born-again spirit, not the Holy Spirit. You can't put pressure on the Holy Ghost with your flesh. Come on. Amen. No. See, there are no punctuation and capitalizations in that original text, so it had to be added by the translator. Well, if they added it, we can take it out. God didn't put that in there like that. Now, notice this. Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill, you'll not yield or fall into or be taken over by pressure put on your spirit by your flesh. Your spirit won't obey God and your flesh don't want to have anything to do with it. It wants to go do its own thing. Well, now, what's right in the middle of that? Words. Words. And if your tongue is full of flesh instead of the Word of God, then you can't control it. It takes the Word to control your tongue. You're going to have to give your born-again spirit by the Holy Spirit in His Word power over this whole system. It should be spirit, soul, and body. Not soul, body, and spirit, or not mind, spirit, and body, or not body and soul. Might make a neat song, but it'll get you killed. Because to be spirit, to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Can you see where words are involved in all this? Because it's the words that your mind or your spirit take hold of. That's the way you do everything. Your whole life follows after the words you say. Amen. All right, now notice this. But if you be led of your spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these:
adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such likes, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in times past. They that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's not the way you live in the kingdom. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There's no law of the flesh. If you will put the Word of God in your mouth, there's no law of the flesh that can overcome those forces. And they're already inside your reborn spirit. Praise God. I already preached myself happy. Man, that's only partially true. I've preached myself happier. Because I was already wound up pretty tight when I got here tonight, man. I tell you, I was going, because I already preached this to me this afternoon, and it's good. Just wait and see. Amen.
They that belong to the Anointed One and His anointing have crucified the flesh. If we live in the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit. Now, you could go back and say this. Walk in the Word and you'll not fulfill the pressures of the five physical senses.
That's good.
Now, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also come under pressure. Bear you one another's burdens, help one another, and fulfill the law of the anointing. For if a man thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he's deceiving himself. Let every man prove his own work, then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. He is simply saying, where these things are concerned, help one another, but you mind your own business. Amen. When it comes to other people, you just be a help to them. And if they get overtaken in the fault, you help restore them. It's not your business to judge them. Verse 6. Now notice this. Sandwiched right in here, and this is so important. Verse 6. Let him that is taught in the Word respond to him that teaches in all good things. I had the Lord say to me back there years and years ago now, that to make Friday on the Believer's Voice of Victor broadcast offering day each week. Because I didn't want to receive offerings on there at all. I got so tired of turning on the radio and hearing religious cons. I didn't like that. I told the Lord, I said, I don't want to receive offerings on there at all. He said, no. He said, now that's not in line with my word. And he took me to these verses of Scripture, many of them, but particularly this one. And he said, this is the guideline. I want you to do it every Friday. I want you to preach the word all week and then give people an opportunity to respond by sowing into that word. Now he said, that's what offerings do. And well, I didn't understand that back then, a little bit, but not much. But he began to teach me about it. And I've been practicing this myself for many, many years. Well, ever since then. Let him that's taught in the Word respond to him that teaches in all good things. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall reap what? All right. We just read all of that corruption that'll get into your life if you're sowing in that direction. Sowing what? Words. Amen. You talk that the flesh and you bring your attention to the things of the flesh and you do all of those things and you sow, and money too, you sow it into these fleshly operations, then you're going to reap all of these things that are listed there. Now then, He that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life. The Greek word is zoe. It is literally the life of God. It's translated eternal life. It's translated everlasting life. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have zoe, everlasting life. The life of God. One person, one commentator made this statement, and I like it. He said, zoe is the thing that makes God God. It's that, he said, you can hardly say it in the English language. It's just the God part of God that makes God God. It just makes him different from anything and everything else. And that's what, when that is imparted into us, that makes us in his image. Whoa, glory to God. Hallelujah. Keith, I see now why you spend so much time over there on that side. Boy, there's some kind of anointing grows up out of that floor over there. I watch you on television, and you drift off over there a lot. Let's see if we can do something about this side over here. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. You got something under the floor here or something? Now, when you're hearing these words under the anointing, under that teaching anointing, and those words, you remember in the fourth chapter of the book of Mark, and Jesus said, these are they by the wayside have heard the word and receive it gladly, received it with gladness, with joy. They received it in the right attitude, didn't they? But became offended, and Satan stole the word. They received it with gladness. So in other words, the word and the anointing under which it was preached worked. It got down in the heart. But without protecting it, it was easy to steal out of there. Now why? Jesus said they had no root. Wow. You mean words have roots? Yeah, they're seeds. He said the sower sows the word. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. Now, he that sows to his Spirit, responding, communicating with the one that's teaching under that anointing, receiving that anointing by sowing something that is yours into it, then that revelation becomes yours and not just mine. And when you sow into it, that's when that word takes root in your spirit, and that's when you become good ground and produce 100-fold. Praise God. Now, when do you become the stony ground? If you'd been stony ground, you wouldn't have heard it with gladness. You become stony ground when you get hardened and won't sow towards it. That's when it gets hard, and so it can't take root in there. But when you communicate to that anointing and you receive it, how do you receive anything? By giving. And by having your mouth, your tongue, your confession of faith do its duty to that word. You put it in your heart, you put it in your mouth. And you sow seed toward that. So that's really the fundamental purpose that God, when he put offerings as part of our spiritual life, it wasn't because he's trying to get your money. Did you ever realize that God don't need your money? You got it from him to start with, unless you stole it or borrowed it. No. This is His way of giving you and me opportunity to get up into His class. Get in there with Him the way He does things. Watch Him work. Amen. Did you know this is the way Mr. Einstein came to the conclusion on E=mc². That's the way he did it. Oh, he made the other scientists so mad. I mean, they kicked him out of associations and everything else, because when they, particularly the news media, asked him how he came to these conclusions, which back there then was theory. It's not theory anymore. And he said, well, I just asked God, God, if I was you, how would I go about creating this? How'd I make this thing work?
You mean you talk to God?
Well, yeah, His door's open. I heard a preacher one time, and he was pretty ugly about it.
I'm afraid of those people that say God talks to them.
Well, I didn't say it to him, but I thought, yeah, I'm afraid of those that say he doesn't. Because if you eat, God ain't talking to you. I really don't have a whole lot care about what you got to say. Now, God talking to you, that's a different thing. And He'll talk to you out of that book. That's His primary. But I'll tell you what, if you get in the book, He will begin to, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they'll not follow. Well, you need to say that about 1,000 times a day, and that'll get you started. Amen. Praise God. You need to be saying it all the time. Every time you get up, every time you look in the mirror, see that man right there? Yeah, I know him. God talks to him, and he knows God's voice, that fellow right there in that mirror doesn't follow a strange voice. I don't follow a strange voice. I know my master's voice. He's my shepherd. I do not want. He leads me beside the still waters. He leads me into green pastures, and he guides me, and I say what I hear him say, and I do what I see him do. Now, I know my master's voice. Amen. Now, notice how he said that. Let's not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. Wow. We shall reap. He said, don't get tired of what you're doing. Don't become just an occasional offering giver. No, no. Become a sower. And not just a sower, but a harvester. Because Jesus is Lord of the seed sown, but He's also Lord of the harvest, brother. Amen. Now, let's go over to the book of Malachi. Chapter 3. Now, in this scripture, verse 8, will a man rob God? You've robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Now, these people were bringing tithes and bringing offerings, but they were not tithing, and they were not offering in faith. You got in the same mess that Cain got in. Now notice this. You bring the tithe to my house. You prove me in this. I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. There's not room enough to receive it. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed. Amen. But now notice, it didn't stop there. I put before you life and death, blessing and cursing, the power and authority in the hand of the tongue lies the authority over death and life. To choose life, you have to choose words. Now, don't get a least bit upset about this, because God will tell you the words to choose. And look at this. Now, let me ask you something. Is God's word powerful?
Yes.
Verse 13, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Man, now what's the matter? Well, they're trying to obey him, bringing tithe, but they weren't tithing. They brought tithe, but tithing is done with words.
Amen.
Hold your place there. Don't lose that now. Go back over to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 26. Verse 1, it shall be when you are come in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance and possesses it and dwell therein. You will take of the first fruit of the earth which thou bring of your land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, put it in a basket, go unto the place which the Lord God shall choose to place his name there. Go unto the priest that shall be of those days. Who is the priest of these days? Jesus is the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, all right. Go to the priest and say to him. There's something to say. There are tithing words. Life words. Blessing words. God said, you bring what's mine to me, I will bring what's yours to you. Blessing. More than you can see anywhere to use. Bigger than you can contain. So there are specific words that tithe the tithe. Now notice what he said here. He said, let's go down to verse 15, and you need to read all these other things and study those. And we have study material on them up there if you want it. Look down from your holy habitation from heaven and bless your people. Now, we are commanded to say that. He didn't say anything about putting your tithe on a revolving account where the bank will just send it to the church and you never see it or say anything about it. Now, I'm not going to tell you how to handle your business, but I will tell you this. Glory and I do not do that. The Lord's instruction to Glory and me, one time he said to me, you're not taking enough tithe and time and tithing your tithe. And he said, the two of you need to come and lay your hands on that tithe, not only your personal tithing, but also the ministry's benevolent account and its tithing ministry. 10% right off of the top. We tithe this ministry just like Gloria and I tithe personally. Yes, sir. Well, Brother Copeland, isn't all of the ministry's money God's? Well, yeah, all of Gloria and my money is God's too. Let me ask you this. Do government employees pay income tax? Well, why? I mean, that's all government money. Kind of wish you hadn't have said that, didn't you? That's just another excuse, kind of, well, anyway. Look down from your holy habitation from heaven and bless your people. So that's part of the word. Those words are not stout against God. Now, that was already in the book of Deuteronomy long before these people in Malachi started saying what they were saying. They could have gone to that, should have gone to it. What were they saying? You have said it's vain. It's worthless to serve God. What profit is it that we've kept His ordinance? You didn't keep His ordinance. You messed it up with your own tradition. And Jesus said that your traditions make the Word of God no effect. Amen. Now, you just got through telling me just a few minutes ago that the Word of God is powerful. Yet, religious tradition makes it of no effect. We got something to deal with here. Nobody can deal with it in your life but you and God. And this Word. Filling your mouth with this Word. But now notice what they had said. This is really, really bad. You said it is vain to serve God, all that serving for nothing. What profit is it that we have kept His ordinance, that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? We even cried over all this. And now, look, now we call the proud happy. That was a terrible use of words to translate the Hebrew word. It's the word blessing. We call the proud blessed. They that work wickedness are set up, in other words, they're successful, and they that tempt God are even delivered? Well, just look at all them people out there with all that money, and I don't care how hard I try, God don't ever bless me. He blesses all them, and them skunks don't ever even go to church. And I'll tell you, there ain't nobody any more honest and any more faithful to church than me and Mama and Aunt Sarah. And I just don't understand it. It just seems like to me that everybody, I mean, even that old heathen woman down there lives in that hotel come to church last Sunday and got healed. And we always wind up getting operated on. I don't understand this. Why does God, blah, 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 blah. You better shut up because you're going to get operated on again. In fact, you are headed to the table right now. Jesus went to the cross and bore your sickness and disease, and your big fat mouth is stout against the healing power of the Holy Ghost and the blood of the Lamb. I'm telling you, this stuff is over. In this house it is. You can do what you want to do with yours, but I'm telling you, in this household, our words are lining up with the glory, with the name, with the blood, with the Word. If my words are going to be stout against anybody, it's not going to be God, and it's not going to be Gloria. It's going to be the devil. We will serve God. And I'll serve Him with every word that comes out of my mouth. Or I'll repent and correct this right now. Amen. Whew. Yes, sir. All glory to God. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, somebody shout amen. God, just in the last few minutes, has given you the key to the blessing vault. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Father, we sow tonight. We sow towards the Spirit. We sow opening our hearts and opening our minds for the revelation of choosing life and walking in the light as you are in the light, and having strong, stout words of faith, not unbelief. Words that are stout for you and not against you. Oh, my, 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 my. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. We sow towards this tonight. Now, keep this in mind. The rest of the service tonight. Oh, and especially in healing school in the morning. Oh, I'm telling you, talk healing all night tonight. Don't talk a bunch of wishing. I sure wish I could get here. I just, will you shut that up? I'm being sweet and I'm smiling, but just shut up. No, no, no. Turn that around. Turn it around. Oh, yes. If God didn't want me healed, He wouldn't have gone to the cross. If He didn't want me well, I'm supposed to be healed. I'm supposed to prosper. I found myself in that book. He died for the ungodly. I was the ungodly He died for. Oh, hallelujah. I found myself in the book. It said, for God so loved the world, and I was part of that world that He loved. I found myself in the book. I'm supposed to prosper. I'm supposed to be healed. I'm supposed to be well. Now, what's happening while I'm saying that? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. My faith is coming. Faith is coming. Faith reaches out to do what? Faith takes hold of God. Jesus said, have faith in God. Now, you have to believe that your faith is from God. And in that sense, you need to believe in your faith. In other words, you have to believe that God put His faith in you and it will work. But it's more than having faith in your faith. It's having faith in God. Hallelujah. Faith reaches out and takes hold of God. Amen. And begins to walk with God. And begins to speak like God. And with the Word, begin to think like God. That's when you begin to get Jesus' results. And He said, the works that I do shall you do also. Amen. Well, now, as you're doing this, what's happening? Don't let any kind of corrupt communication come out of your mouth and corrupt what's building up inside you. And I'm going to get into this part of it as soon as we finish receiving the offering. It's building up on the inside of you. Your words are becoming stout. Your words are with power. Not against God, but for God. You realize that if your words are stout against God, they're stout against you. Because if they're stout against God, who is life, who's left? Death. Well, that ain't what you want. No, you don't need that. Death hurts. You understand that?
Amen.
So, your words are getting stronger all the time. And every time you say it with your mouth, oh, my Father, I love you with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my mind and strength, and I love the brethren even as you love the brethren. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All the time. It's building up. Yes. It's building up. Now, it may not seem like it's all that much, but it's building up. It's in there, and it's building up, and it's building up, and it's building up, and it's building up, and it's getting stronger, and it's getting stronger. And you may not notice it being any stronger, but it's stronger, and 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 then it gets stronger. Don't let anything in there to corrupt it. Amen. Don't let anything in there to pollute it. Don't let anything in there to dilute it. Fear, tolerate it. Is faith contaminated? Jesus said, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole.
Now, there's not any room there for failure unless you'll tolerate the fear, tolerate the corrupt communication. Just loosey-goosey about it and just hook your mouth up with your carnal mind. Just let both of them run off and blab, blab, blab. You'll corrupt it down to where you'll have to spend considerable amount of time in the Word, number one, to flush all that out of there, repent of it, and get into meetings like this. This is what these are for. And you get into you need to be in a church that talks this way to you all the time. Do you remember what the Apostle Paul said about going to a church that denies the power, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof? He said, from such turn away. Now, if that was translated today, it would just literally say, get out of there. Love them? Yes. Corrupt me? No, no. I'm not going to have that preacher telling me that nothing of this is going to work. And I ask him to come pray for my baby, and he gets over there and says, well, Lord, if it be your will, heal this darling little child. But if it's not and you're lonely for an angel in heaven, just shut your mouth. You ain't killing my baby. I'd whole lot rather repent after I knock you on your backside and shut your unbelieving mouth than I had to repent over killing my child myself. Cajun friend of mine, a number of years ago, he and John were the same age, and we were duck hunting down there with them. And back when John and Kip were 13 years old, both of them, and he called Kip over there to him. And I overheard him. He's chewing that boy out about something. And of course, you know, Cajun's gonna be a Cajun. And he chewed Kip out about whatever it was he's irritated with him about. He said, boy, I wanna send a fool, I'd have gone myself. I thought, yeah, that'll preach. I didn't send you over there to mess this up. If I wanted it messed up, I'd have gone and done it. I learned a lot from that man. I learned a lot from him more times than that. He's a man of God. Are you flowing with me now? You see where we are in this? Stout words. Strong, stout words. I'll add this to it before we receive the offering. Jesus said 9 words to a fig tree, turned around and walked off. When they called his attention to it, he said, have faith in God. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain. Now, the first thing he said, you shall not only do that which was done to this fig tree, but if you say to this mountain. So in other words, if he did it by faith, then you're going to have to do it. He said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea. How many words?
9.
That's how many words he said to that fig tree. Now he said, by your words are you justified. By your words are you condemned. Well, that would mean by your words you choose life, then you're what? Justified. By your words you choose death, are you condemned. And you will stand judgment for every idle, inoperative, empty, faithless word. What is an idle word? Well, he explained that. He said the Gentiles think they will be heard by their many words, repetitions, going over and over and over and over and over again. The less faith you have, the more words you speak.
Because your words are corrupted. They won't have any power. And you know it when you're saying them. And you just keep talking, think, well, you know, it'll build up here or something. Those are idle, inoperative words. When you get to the point where you're saying and saying and saying, trying to make something happen, they're idle words. You'd be a whole lot better off just to repent and shut up and say, God, help me. Oh, yeah, you'd be way better off. Because you can start over then and begin to build your word. Now, let me give you an example of stout words. Kelly's daughter, Lindsay, 11 years old, woke her up Christmas morning. And when the family went in there to wake all the kids up Christmas morning, Lindsay didn't know anybody. She was delirious. They rushed her to the children's hospital. They diagnosed her with Neisseria meningitis. Now they went through all the stuff and all the tests and the contagious disease specialist let Kelly know that, well, if I remember right, one of her statements was, I've been doing this for however many years it was, and she said, that is as cloudy and as sick a spinal fluid as I've ever seen. They did not see any way for this baby to live and let her know that. Well, now her sister, Terry, sitting here. Hi, Terry. Terry told me later, he said, when they told Kelly that, she said, Kelly walked right straight to her. Now, when somebody does, you know, you can see it in their eyes. That is the mirror. You see it in your eyes. Oh, you can see faith in somebody's eyes. You can see fear in their eyes. You see fear in somebody's eyes, they're either going to run like a coward or they'll kill you. Fear will either make a coward out of you or a killer out of you. And she said, Kelly walked over there and said these words. Now, she didn't take a whole string of words. Oh, pray, sister, pray. What are we going to do? Oh, God, blah, 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 blah. Let me tell you what the doctor said. Oh, they're going to do this and they're going to die. Oh, my God, my baby's going to die. The disease is not the killer in the room. You are. Your words are stout against by his stripes ye were healed. But Kelly walked over there under the influence of this. Now, we raised these children this way. And we didn't just teach it to them as the way we do. This is, you know, this is our thing at our church. We live this way. Whatever we have, this is the way we got it. Because we didn't borrow to get it. We believed God for it. And it was the confession of our mouth. We taught the kids this. I mean, if they're going to get anything, if they're going to get toys, if they're going to get anything, I'm talking from little preschoolers, then they had to sow seed and they had to believe God and they had to get their mouth right. Amen. Kelly walked right straight over there to Terry and said, I refuse to fear. And later, Kelly told me, she said, all of that fear that had come off that doctor's report and all that, and of course, the room and the hospital was full of it. They had, I don't remember now how many children had already died. There was a number of them. Kelly said it was somewhere between 15 and 20 that over the period of this whole breakout, that died, a number of them had lost limbs, lost hearing, lost eyes and things to this horrible demonic disease. And that the pressure from that comes from an environment like that was on her, and the words filled with fear around her. And it gets heavy. It gets heavy. That's when you better watch your mouth, because the devil is looking for it.
That's the only way he can get to you and me. Our kind don't have death in us. It has to be fed in there with our words. Our spirit being no longer produces fear. There's a fountain of faith on the inside of us. The only way fear can get into our born-again spirit is for us to talk it in there. And that's when it needs to be expelled with faith, with love-filled faith words. Amen. Kelly said, the moment she said that to Terry, it just... And if I remember your words, you said, it was like a bird just flew off of my shoulders and just flew out of the room. And all of a sudden, everything looked so wonderful. And now, and I can just hear the Lord, everything's going to be all right. Why? Faith is on the job. Words are at work.
I just started speaking the word that was already in me, but that the fear like was a clamp. But with the act of the words and the act of my will to refuse it, it left, it didn't come back. And the word just came out.
It flows, doesn't it?
It just flowed out.
Kelly said the moment when once she said what was in her spirit and she resisted that and said, I refuse to fear. I've had this happen to me. It's like those words have a hook on them. And you didn't say but two or three words full of faith, and it just hooked on then to just a flowing river of praise and worship. Now, these are not idle words. These are not empty words. These are glory-filled words coming out of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Whoo! I mean, you may be standing there 2 days later just going, you know. Well, by the time Gloria and I got there, it was about 11 or so at night. And which was a few hours after that, because we were out of town. And so they took us up to the infectious disease ward. And of course, you look like something from outer space by the time they get through putting all those hazmat suits on you and all that stuff. And took us in there. I walked up beside Lindsay's bed. Gloria's on the other side of her bed. Now, before I got there, the word of the Lord had come to me. See, when you are speaking words that are not stout against God, but word towards God. Oh, I thank God I know my Savior's voice. Oh, I know. He always causes me to triumph. He always gives me words of victory. Thank God. Oh, hallelujah. I've been doing this for hours by the time we got there. And the Lord had told me what to say and what to do. Now, you don't want to add a bunch of stuff to it. Just go in and do what he said. It don't have to make sense. Keith, it's getting better over here. It don't have to make sense. I'm just kidding you. Don't you let me down. I'm coming back over in a minute. It doesn't have to make sense. It makes faith. He said, when you go in there, put your index finger right on her breastbone. Just right below her throat there. Well, why did he want to put it there? I don't know. I don't care. He's the healer. And he said, speak to the anointing that is in her. Doesn't the scripture say you have received an unction from him? Doesn't it say you have an anointing in you now that you have received of him? Yes. That's the anointing of life. It's the anointing to live. It's the anointing to receive the word. It's the anointing that comes with the new birth and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And all of these things are working together for the good of those that love God. And he said, speak to that anointing and command it to rise up and put that disease out of the temple of the Holy Ghost. So that's what I did. And by this time it's midnight and it's dark in there. The room's a number of children in there.
So we walked up on both sides and Gloria's praying in the spirit. And I just did what the Lord said. I just put my finger there on her breastbone and I said, Lindsay, it's Papa. Now I speak to the anointing on the inside of you. Rise up and put this disease out of the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now, up until that time, she hadn't said anything to anybody that you really to communicate with anybody. Because she kind of, you know, fever and all of that stuff. Just she'd been out of it, really, since they woke her up earlier that morning. The moment I said that, now listen, anointing, rise up and put this disease out. That's what the Lord told me to say. Are you with me now? When she woke up, what would you think would have to happen for that anointing to put that disease out? Words. Now, this is an 11-year-old girl, but she'd been raised on the Word of God. Thank God, meningitis was not what was in her in abundance. The moment I said that, she said, and she hollered it with gritted teeth, Papa, I'm healed in the name of Jesus. Man, it hit me. It hit Gloria. I mean, whoa, glory to God. She was well from that moment on. Well from that moment on. Of course, the law said you had to keep them in the hospital at least 8 days before you let them up because of the seriousness of being that contagious as that disease is. But and so she got up her Christmas presents in that hospital room and just having a big time. I mean, just going on and having such fun. But now notice this. The moment that took place, there was a woman, I'd noticed her standing by the bedside of another child over here right behind me when I walked up here to Lindsay's bed. And then when Lindsay hollered like she did, well, I mean, everybody in there that is awake heard that. And I know she woke some of them up. When that woman heard Lindsay say what she said, she came over there to me. She said, mister, could you come pray that over my grandson? She said, I'll tell you, she said, this child's parents, she is really upset. She said, this child, this baby's parents don't know nothing about God, and I have a hard time getting the Word of God into any of them. Would you come pray for my grandson? Well, of course I did. We set up shop. I have this mental image of Terry and George out there in that waiting room. That waiting room was full of parents and brothers and sisters. I'm telling you, the hospital full of these kids with this disease. And a lot of danger. And all kinds of ding-a-ling stuff going on out there in that waiting room. Can you imagine anybody in the hospital watching General Hospital on the TV? I'll tell you, if you don't get your mouth right, I'm telling you right now, that there's just a lot of places and a lot of times, and it's getting worse all the time, they will doctor you to death. It's a word of warning. That's not where your faith needs to be. Now, the Lord may instruct you and tell you to do certain, and there ain't no unborn again doctor gonna have nothing to do with me. And if he's the only one in the business, oh, that's just too bad. He's either gonna get saved, he's gonna do this my way. No, sir. They set up shop out there in that waiting room, and there's people all over the place. They had a table set up out there and they had, anytime this family, when one of our kids has a baby,
We go take over the maternity ward. I don't remember which one is one of the last two or three. That doctor walked out there, and there must have been 50 or 60 of us. He said, are we having this many babies today? And they said, oh, no, there's only one. But it's a Copeland. Oh. And Kelly's pediatrician told anyway, he told the rest of them around there, he said, now these people are kind of strange, but you give them a lot of room because they know what they're doing. Amen. Because he'd seen this family in operation before. What's happening here? Our words are strong. Walking in there, walking up to Terry, once they gave Kelly that bad report, that's no time for a corrupted mouth. That's no time for a confession that don't mean anything. That's no time for words that don't have any hook up to God. There was a man back when Gloria and I first went into this ministry, there was a man back in those days that traveled around the country, and his nickname was Strong Prayer. And every time he'd pray for people, he'd have prayer lines and lay hands on people. Got a lot of results. But when he'd lay hands on people, what the Lord had directed him to do, he'd say, he'd start up there too, you know, and he'd start to lay hands on you, and he'd say, I'm going to pray a strong prayer. Strong prayer. Boy, I mean, man, he'd come at you now. I'm going to pray a strong prayer. Well, that's better than, I'm going to pray a weak prayer. Hallelujah. Amen.